Our sermon today picks up from where we heard Jack read from Acts. This is verses 33-39. We're continuing our sermon series Z through A through the New Testament, and we're up to G, as in Gamaliel, right now. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them, the disciples. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up and ordered the men to be put outside for a short time. Then he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, consider carefully what you propose to do to these men. For some time ago, Judas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. But he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and disappeared. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up at the time of the census and got people to follow him. He also perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone, because if this plan or this undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. In that case, you may even be found fighting against God." God, may our plans and undertakings ever be blessed by you. There's an old TV commercial you probably remember if you're of a certain age. A group of people are milling around the lobby of a theater during the intermission, and two men in the foreground are talking. One says, "I'm trying to figure out where best to invest my money these days." And the other man says, "Well, my broker is E.F. Hutton." And E.F. Hutton says, and everyone turns around with their hands cupped to their ears like this, because as the commercial's tagline says, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. That's the reputation the great leader Gamaliel had. When Gamaliel talked, people listened. He was the grandson of a famous teacher named Hillel, and his father was Simeon. Legend has it, it was the same Simeon whom we heard about a few weeks ago, who took the infant Jesus into his arms and blessed him and thanked God for showing him the Messiah before he passed away. Gamaliel was not just called rabbi, teacher, he was called Rabban, master, because he was the head of the Sanhedrin, the highest court of justice and the supreme council in ancient Jerusalem, kind of on a par with our United States Supreme Court. As leader of the Sanhedrin, Gamaliel taught and instructed the rabbis and people about Jewish law. His was the last word on matters about the law. He was highly respected, so the people would likely defer to him on issues such as the one before them. What to do with these men who insisted on preaching about someone named Jesus Christ, declaring him to be God's Messiah, convincing countless people to abandon Judaism and embrace their new religion centered around the resurrected Jesus. The scripture says, "Now many signs and wonders were done among the people through the apostles. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Yet more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, great numbers of both men and women." The council was worried. They were losing folks fast, and they were losing faith to the disciples as well. The council decided to warn them not to speak in Jesus' name anymore. Essentially, shut up about that Jesus dude. Yeah, if the council tells them to stop it, they will. They better. Peter's bold answer to the order was wonderful, setting a standard for us even today. Whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. We cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard. We must obey God rather than any human authority. Jesus himself had told them to go and tell about what they had witnessed, the miraculous healings, the gifting of mercy and salvation, his resurrection. Who were they supposed to listen to, mere mortals or the absolute Son of God? For the disciples, it was a no-brainer. Their detractors were so mad they wanted to kill them. But then Gamaliel stood up and spoke, and everyone cupped their hands around their ears to hear what he would say, because after all, when Rabban Gamaliel spoke, the people listened. Gamaliel's answer was diplomatic, if not decisive, evasive, if not exacting. Basically, he told everyone, wait and see. Wait and see how all this works out. The results will let you know exactly where this clamor comes from, men or God. What did Gamaliel hope would happen? He expected the new enthusiasm would die if it were let alone, allowed to run its course and fizzle out. One of his concerns was keeping Rome, which ruled over Jerusalem at that time, out of everyone's hair. The last thing any Israelite wanted was to draw Rome's wrath and attention. Revolts and rebellions would be swiftly and savagely stamped out, so nobody wanted to rock the boat, least of all Gamaliel. Was Gamaliel a gambler? Was he hedging his bets, not committing himself either way, not saying which outcome he preferred? Instead, he alluded to some other insurrections that historians are still trying to pinpoint, but which the group to whom Gamaliel spoke apparently were aware of. He brought up the names of failed leaders such as Thutis and Judas and inferred that all the council had to do now was wait and this movement would fail too. Was he hoping it would fail? If it did, he would feel vindicated. If it didn't, it meant he would have to examine himself and make a decision. Would he continue to resist or would he succumb? Was Gamaliel speaking pragmatically or prophetically? Was he being practical, saying, let these guys alone and eventually they'll peter out, no pun intended, or just ignore them and they'll go away? Or was he unknowingly speaking for God through the Holy Spirit? If this is from God, you're not going to be able to overthrow these men. To Gamaliel, it was a toss-up. It might work out. It might flop. It might soar. It might sink. Let's sit back and see what happens. The council agreed with his advice because, after all, no other insurrection had ever succeeded. No other new religious movement had ever caught hold and stuck. Why should this one be any different? They decided not to worry their pretty little heads about it anymore, but they couldn't resist getting in their last licks, literally. Before they let the disciples go, they had them flogged. The usual punishment was to give offenders 39 lashes. That'll show them, the council thought. But you know what happened? Instead of slinking off with their tails between their legs, wounded and whining, worried and defeated, the disciples left the council rejoicing. They were actually glad to have been punished. They were grateful they were considered worthy of suffering in Jesus' name for his cause. They weren't ashamed. They were proud. The council must have been baffled at this odd reaction, but they also might have thought this was exactly what Gamaliel was talking about. Surely God wouldn't use a bunch of lunatics to bring God's message. So surely this crazy movement would be stopped in its tracks. But the beating didn't stop them. Every day in the temple and at home, they did not cease to teach and proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. Well, so much for that attempt at stopping the movement. How can you tell if something is from God? Sometimes when it makes absolutely no human sense, sometimes that's how you know. In the audience, there may have been one man taking it all in with smoldering eyes and hate harbored in his heart. Acts 22:3 tells us of a very special student of Gamaliel, someone who sat at his feet and soaked in all his teachings, someone who hoped the Jesus movement would crash and burn, someone who did his best to make that happen. Do you know who that was? It was the Apostle Paul. Just imagine it, Paul, then known as Saul, sitting among the council, listening to the apostles' proclamations, listening to Gamaliel's declaration, plotting, as he would later admit, to destroy as many of Jesus' followers as possible. I would not be surprised to find Saul was fiercely loyal to the great Gamaliel, cupping his ear as he listened to the Rabban preach and teach. Maybe he even thought, I'm going to make sure these guys fail. It's my personal mission. When the council arrested Stephen, another one of the disciples, his speech exonerating and extolling Jesus infuriated them so much that they stoned him to death. And Saul approved of their killing him. He ravaged the church by entering house after house, dragging off both men and women. He committed them to prison. Still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, Saul went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way of Jesus, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Saul was single-handedly going to make sure this Jesus movement failed. But we all know what happened to him, don't we? We remember how a light from heaven flashed around Saul as he was going to Damascus, and he fell off his horse, and he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul asked the voice who it belonged to, and the voice told him, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Saul spent 3 days blind and helpless, and after another disciple, Ananias, came and laid hands on him, he was baptized and became a believer in the very cause he was trying to squelch. Gamaliel must have heard about his prized pupil's turnover. Can you imagine the conversation they would have had if they ever met again? Gamaliel would have been appalled at Paul, whom we only knew as Saul. "Saul, what happened to you? What are you doing? Why have you gone over to the dark side? Didn't you learn anything from me?" And Paul would have replied, "Dark side? Gamaliel, I have seen the light. I have found a new teacher who has taught me truth and brought me salvation and mercy." Knowing Paul, how readily, how eagerly, how fearlessly he shared his conversion story and his new knowledge of Jesus with anyone and anywhere, knowing Paul, he preached to Gamaliel, a classic case of the student becoming the teacher. Did Gamaliel listen and learn from his former student? Did he repent? The Lord says he did indeed become a Christian and was baptized by Peter and John. Well, we can't know for sure if that's what happened, but we can hope. And we can look forward to the day when we meet Gamaliel and ask him, "What happened? Did you come to faith? And when?" And once again, we will lean in and cup our ears, because once again, when Gamaliel speaks, people will listen. Let us pray. God, give us the strength and the faith to stand up to all our opponents with the bravery of Peter and the other apostles. Embolden and empower us to say as they did, we must obey our God and do God's will rather than obey human authorities. Teach us to preach and proclaim Jesus as your Christ without fear, and to take whatever punishment they dish out, all for his glory and yours. Amen.
Jesus saves.
By his death and endless life,
Jesus saves.